This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Rise above and be in control with today's business headlines, driven by Volvo Cars.
7:46. Right now, you're listening to The Morning Run. Melissa and Han here with you. And two big stories are dominating our attention this morning. One, Dato' Sri Zaid Hamidi at the KL Sessions High Court, expected to be charged this morning. And secondly, the revision or the revised 11th Malaysia Plan. And we're, going into a deep dive into more of the targets that the government has revised. So the government's revising several headline targets under the 11th Malaysia Plan. The Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir, describing this belt-tightening initiatives as temporary measures.
Yeah, no, once again, they're citing the huge debts and liabilities that they've inherited from the previous government. You know, he seems to say that, look, market reaction, that may be secondary. I think fundamentally, they want to try and improve Malaysia's performance in terms of the economy, also in terms of political and social reforms.
Right. Well, let's get down into the nitty-gritty then, Han. Let's take a look at some of the revised targets. So how we've performed so far versus what we're expecting to do now. So initially, when it was announced, the real GDP growth in 2017 was 5.1%, right? And we had expected it to hit between 5 to 6% by 2020. We're revising that target now to between 4.5% to 5.5% by 2020.
So the messaging that we're getting from the government now is that, you know, through 2020, we got to tolerate slower economic growth. Now, to be fair, this is in line with the broader global slowdown that we're seeing. We have seen the IMF revise the global growth projection downwards for the first time in 2 years, I believe. You know, and likewise, filtering it down to the Malaysian story, they have done the same for Malaysia's projected growth. World Bank did the same thing. So, you know, this is reflective of that. But one wonder is if the expected slowdown in economic growth could have been mitigated if, let's say, the fiscal revenue side was remained as a whole, and that way you can still have those counter-cyclical measures and spend more, you know, doing those slowdown.
Yeah, so you make sure that you have, you know, kind of a solid backing to weather any kind of external changes, right? I also thought what was particularly interesting was the revised target of the fiscal GDP, fiscal deficit to GDP.
Yep.
So now the fiscal deficit target by 2020 is expected to be wider at 3%. So it started out at, in 2017 as a 3% target. The idea was to get to 2020 with a balanced budget.
Or at least a near-balanced budget.
Near about 0.6%.
Yeah, you know, so that was the target here. So it looks like, hey, at least we've got one goal in the bag because we already achieved this last year, right? So look, again, from a macroeconomic perspective, I can understand the rationale for this 3% fiscal deficit by 2020. But, you know, I would just wonder what could have been, right? You know, once again, because the government may have to, you know, engage in this counter-cyclical measure, they got to try and spend. I think the Prime Minister has alluded to this before, and the Minister of Finance as well, because if they do not spend, then the B40 are the ones who get hurt. So they have to spend somewhat, but at the risk of widening their fiscal deficit back to 3%, which is where we were last year.
Yeah. So Julia Goh from UOB, UOB Global Economics and Market Research, she says that, you know, the 3% fiscal deficit target was really to account for overstated revenues in the previous years, given the sizable tax refunds that have been revealed, right? And also we have Sun Wei University's Professor of Economics, Dr. Ya Kim Ling. He's saying, look, these revised targets, well, they're a lot more realistic given the current fiscal picture.
Yeah, but again, right? So is this fiscal picture something of their own doing? You know, because I think there's another side of the story that we need to get to, right?
They're doing mean the current government's doing.
Yeah, like the current government's doing. Again, abolishing that GST, you know. Are these the acceptable trade-offs because of their decision to abolish the GST? Because in my mind, and again, you know, hopefully during the breakfast group we'll get more clarity, but in my mind, in an ideal world, you had this new government coming in, go through with these institutional reforms that are sorely needed here in Malaysia, but at the same time maintain the integrity of, on the fiscal income side, so i.e. GST. If that was the case, we would perhaps be in a better position and we wouldn't need some of these downward revisions for these macroeconomic targets for 2020.
But, you know, this is a midterm review, right?
Yes.
So they're essentially, I guess, recalibrating what was done in the previous years. So it's essentially the doing of the previous administration as well. And then revising the targets to become more realistic based on where we are currently halfway
yeah,
through.
Yeah, what they're revising these targets based on the realities of the present government. So, and that includes this.
Which has been in power for like 5 months.
Right, yeah. You know, but again, so if you look at, it's not just the fiscal deficit. You look at the slower growth that's expected. Downward revision for the monthly median wage. Initially, the target was 2,500 ringgit. Now it's revised downwards to 2,400 ringgit. I mean, question marks are being posed about whether we'll actually get there based on initial markers. We have seen, you know, how right off the bat, they could have really signaled their intent with a meaningful upward revision of the minimum wage of up to 1,005, but it came in at 1,050 ringgit. Mm. So what does this mean? Because 2020 isn't very far away. Do they have the kind of runway to meaningfully boost up not just minimum wage, but also the monthly median wage across Malaysia up to the revised target of 2,004?
Yeah, and speaking about wages, right, Han, the income per capita income that was targeted that we were targeted to reach by 2020, we were supposed to reach 54,000 ringgit, to be specific, 54,100 ringgit. But now I think that's been revised lower. So the target for 2020 now for per capita income is 47,720 ringgit.
Yeah, and to be fair, there has been some slippage on that part as well because, you know, the global benchmark is measured in US dollar terms,
yeah,
and with the weaker ringgit that we've seen in recent years there, you know, so there has been slippage there as well. Likewise, along those same lines, the World Bank has then said, you know what, we might only hit that high income nation status by 2024, so perhaps needing a bit more time. So, you know, there are several downward revisions there, not just in terms of the target wages, fiscal deficit, GDP growth, development expenditure as well.
Yeah, so this is interesting. I'd like to kind of focus a little bit on this. So looking at the government's expenditure, so the country will see a contraction of 0.6% in terms of real public investment between 2016 to 2020. This is compared with the initial target of 2.7% growth. And looking at public consumption, growing moderately by 0.3% for the year remaining in the 11th Malaysia Plan period. The question is whether, you know, we can, or the government can optimize its public expenditure without jeopardizing or affecting the quality of public service delivery. I've just got on my a table here that shows some of the high impact projects that the government says it is committed to seeing through. Of course, here within the KL, the Klang Valley region, we have the Souk Highway, the Dash Highway, MAX 2, Digital Free Trade Zone, MRT 2 and LRT 3 we talked about yesterday as well.
Right, so that's an infographic. There's a map there. If you guys are going to download the 395-page 11th Malaysia Plan report,
then why not? Weekend reading.
Yeah. Totally, yeah, if you want to do that. Nerd. I'm kidding, Melissa. If you're downloading that report, you go to, I think it's 9-11. That's the page marker, 9-11. And you see this map of Malaysia and the different projects that are set to be rolled out.
Did you just quote the page number to
me? Did.
Who's the nerd now?
Not me. Melissa Idris. Anyways, so you do see the breakdown of all these projects that are out there, right? Now, look, I mean, Pakatan has been in power for, 5 months plus now, right? These appear to me, again, we're going to try and get some more clarity on the breakfast grill, but these appear to be have been rebadged for Pakatan. In other words, like these were projects that had actually been, conceived and rolled out under the previous administration. But what we're looking for is perhaps new approaches or new ideas. Now, what the government of the day has said is that perhaps there's a move away from the bias in terms of investing in physical infrastructure and perhaps investing in the softer skills or the human capital side of things, or reducing the disparity, not just in personal income, but also in GDP growth between the states.
And Han, as you mentioned, we're hoping to get more clarity on the breakfast grill, because today on the show, we have Zakia Jaafar, Deputy Director General of the Economic Planning Unit, and she's from the Ministry of Economic Affairs. So this is really wonderful. We have someone who worked on this report, and she's been with the EPU for a while, so she's able to kind of give us some context, not just for the 11th Malaysia Plan and the review of the 11th Malaysia Plan, but how things were done in the previous administration as well.
Yeah, she's been with them since 1991. What were you doing in 1991, Melissa? Don't answer that question.
We're
not going to reveal your age here. But yeah, so she certainly has context there. We'll also kind of zoom out and talk about the relevance of these medium-term development plans among emerging economies. Because, for example, India actually ditched their last so-called medium-term development plan ended in 2017. They were done.
You mean for the five-year plans? So, if I'm not mistaken, five-year plans are a remnant of the Soviet government.
Correct, yes.
So this is from the time of the Soviet Union. And I guess many countries have abandoned this arbitrary timeline of five-year plans. Given the changes in technology, things are changing so quickly now. What is 5 years?
Right.
You need an overall blueprint. I completely agree with that. Well, but what's a five-year plan?
Okay, well, that's your economic bias. Well, perhaps the liberals, the economic liberals will say, no, let markets do their own thing. You don't need this central planning unit. Look at Singapore. They never had these medium-term development plans, and look at where they are now. Balik-balik we compare to Singapore, kan? Teruk,
ah. Yeah. Let's find another benchmark.
Yeah.
All right, that's coming up on The Breakfast Grill. We have Zakia Jaafar. She's the Deputy Director General of the Macroeconomic Section of the EPU. And we're also going to be crossing over to Lawrence Todd, the Director of Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, or the think tank IDEA. And as well as Azlan Awang, Senior Fellow at the Majlis Tindakan Ekonomi Melayu, or MTEM. We're going to be getting all the comments about the revision of the 11th Malaysia Plan on The Breakfast Grill. Coming up after the 8 o'clock news with Keith Kam, BFM 89.9.
Keeping you on track for peak business performance with the new Volvo XC40, the expression of innovation. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.